You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 292. Now, listeners, it is the AEC review show because it was the American Eventing Championships at the Kentucky Horse Park just last week. And we wanted to look back and pick out some of the highlights for you. So we've got a couple of very special guests to join us and relive their favourite AEC moments. Now, the man who very successfully defended his Adequan $60,000 advanced title at the AEC's, Boyd Martin, is with me. Boyd, it is good to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
It looked like an absolutely thrilling competition. So first of all, let's go back to the start. Let's go through the start of your week and introduce us, first of all, to anybody who isn't familiar with On Cue, who was your ride that took the top spot. Because she's a special mare, isn't she?
Yeah, it's an interesting horse. It's a French-bred horse. Actually, I think it was bred in England. It's got a French father and an English blood mother, I think. And it went through a couple of sets of riders. And I linked up with Christine Turner, the owner, a couple of years ago. And On Cue had been in a field for 2 years. And she basically said, look, we need to get rid of this one. Can you get it back in work and sell it? And I quickly convinced her otherwise once I got riding this horse. I sort of knew of it in the early days of being in America and always loved the horse. It's a big moving, beautiful looking, rangy, great galloper, good jumper, just a beautiful horse. So I was always in love with it, and I really, really clicked with the horse. So it's been a fun time with her.
A cracking season as well. She is the reigning 5-star national champion, obviously, from that super result at Kentucky back in the spring. Now she's the advanced national champion as well. I understand the plan is Fair Hill, but what's she like as a character? Obviously, extremely talented and one that you think a lot of. What's she like as a character?
Oh, she's a beautiful horse. She's a bit quirky, like she's bloody hard to catch in the paddock. You know, like you want to try and ride her in the morning before she goes out, because I've seen some of my guys out in the field for about an hour trying to catch her. So she's nice. She's a little bit spooky, which I actually think makes her slightly flamboyant in the dressage and a bit careful in the show jumping. She's a very intelligent horse. You know, typical mare. You've got to just gently, you know, tippy toe around a few issues and not be too stern with her. But she's a hell of a trier. She out in the cross country course, when she starts getting tired, you see the old ears pinned back, and she grits her teeth and pushes on. And I was so impressed with her at Kentucky earlier this year. Obviously, it was a very, very long, grueling course, and she was green. It was her first 5-star, and she missed the time by 1 or 2 seconds. But right from that moment on, I knew this horse was special. And ever since Kentucky was finished, I thought, righto, if I can just shave off a couple points in the dressage, get a show jumping clear, I've got a good chance of being competitive at the Maryland 5-star. So I think that's sort of what we've been dialing in for. And the AECs was sort of our preparation event to get ready for Maryland.
Part of that sort of build up to it. Let me ask you about the week's competition, because you actually went in there with two rides, with Long Island T as well, who was the defending champion for you. Obviously, the AECs cancelled in 2020, so that was from 2019. The Equa Ratings Prediction Centre had you as a very, very good win percentage chance, particularly when you added both of those going up. Two very, very good horses. Do you feel pressure, Boyd, or do you love that kind of situation?
I mean, the AEC is just to everyone in Europe listening, is it's the Kentucky Horse Park, and it's sort of the Olympic Games for American eventing. So there was over 1,000 horses competing at the horse park from the very lowest level, and people fly horses out from California and they come from everywhere to compete, like at the novice training, intermediate, beginner novice level. And it's an amazing contest. And and to gallop around the Kentucky Horse Park, it sort of got that Kentucky three-day event feel. And pressure, you know, I think it's a privilege to have that pressure. It's a little bit less pressure when you know you're on really good horses. So I love it and thrive on it. It's great prize money, and it was a strong field of top horses. You know, a lot of horses in America are getting prepared for not only Fair Hill, but Buccalo and Arkin, and Morven Park's got a 4-star and Tryon. So there was a good group of horses, top riders, and very, very exciting finish to the competition. We actually jumped on Friday night at about 9 o'clock at night under the lights, and there was a big crowd just because of all of the other competitors in the lower levels for the show jumping. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking jumping under lights, and it was a tough show jumping course. I honestly didn't think I was going to win it. I was in about fourth or fifth place going into the show jumping, and all the riders in front of me sadly knocked over a pole or two, which left us the winners, which was wonderful.
I was going to say, because actually she moved up. She was eighth after dressage. She added a handful of time penalties on the cross-country. Director Grazia, the cross-country course designer, 6.4 to be exact. So she was well placed going into the jumping, but jumping under lights, I think when we had the preview show, we were talking that it was the competitors' party as well that would be watching on as part of that sort of show jumping and the finale of the advanced final. I imagine that gave it a really sort of special atmosphere, and not something that we always see in eventing either.
No, it's great. There's a couple of events in America that are starting to do the jumping under lights at night, which it's awesome. Tryon's another venue that's got that sort of stadium with night lights, and I think it's great for the sport, and definitely has that sort of party atmosphere with everyone having a drink and some music going and spectators and the whole competition sort of shut down except for that one part of the event. So everyone actually gets an opportunity to take a breath, sit down and enjoy the higher level horses jumping. So I think it's awesome. It's really good.
It looked like a lot of fun. Can I ask you about the prize fund? Because Adequan, hugely generous supporters of it, $60,000 in terms of the overall prize fund, $30,000 to the winner. How important is that in terms of the sport of eventing? Because I think we talked about it on the preview show, that's got to be the biggest prize pot for an advanced class, probably in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's great money. I've been very, very fortunate to win it a couple of times. And, I try and aim my more competitive horses at that one just because there is a bit of loot on offer. Adequan's a brilliant company that, not just supports eventing, but supports all the equestrian sports here in America. And, I think it's great. These owners pump so much money into the horses, to not just get them to the events, but the training and the blacksmith and the entry fees and shipping, and to be able to sort of give some money back to your owners. And I think it definitely is fantastic. And for me personally, I've got a fair few loan sharks chasing me at the moment. We're constructing an indoor riding arena, and I'm up to my bottom lip in debt at the moment, so it was just what the doctor ordered.
What about, obviously, the coming up next is Fair Hill will be a big target for her. What are your plans? Is she the only one you're taking to Fair Hill? Have you got anybody else that you're aiming for the sort of as a last big 5-star of 2021?
Yeah, I've got my second horse, Long Island T, entered. He's been a bit hit and miss. I've been going really well on him or falling off him. So I'm going to run him again next week at Plantation in the 4-star and just see how he feels around that. And then there's also a 3-star long at Fairhill, and I've got an outstanding younger mare called Katarina that's owned by Nancy Hathaway that looks really good. So I'm gonna take her in the 3-star long mare, and Fairhill's just around the corner from my farm. So we've also got some young event horses that we may take in the sort of 4- and 5-year-old classes as well. So it's, you know, it's going to be a great event at Fairhill. It's it looks like an unbelievable facility, like the rings, the course, the location's brilliant. I've got a sneaking suspicion that Ian Stark's going to build a monster of a track. So horses are going to have to be fit, and it's going to be, from what I've heard, back to the 80s, just big, big jump after big, big jump. And it'll be very, very exciting, 5-star. So.
That is what we like to hear. I actually saw Ian at Bicton at the weekend and sort of quizzed him a little bit about what was in store. And it sounds like they're doing an incredible amount of work on the ground in order to give the best possible footing for all of the horses as well. So exciting times ahead. Boyd, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have you on the show as always.
Great. Well, thanks for having me.
Now, my next guest took the top spot in the beginner novice master amateur division, Galinda Beckers. Thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
It is brilliant to have you. So let's find out a bit more about you before we go on to talk about the fairy tale finish to your AEC journey. Let's talk a little bit more about you. So what's your background? What do you do?
I am a college professor. I teach teachers in the College of Education. I teach teachers who work with individuals with disabilities. So I've been teaching for 30 years, and I'm an amateur rider. I own my own farm in southeast Louisiana, a small town. Independence is the address, but it's actually the smaller town called LaRonger. And I have a few horses that I just, they're just pets. Well, they're pets, but I don't, like, again, I compete as an amateur, so they're family members. I'm married and have 2 daughters.
Amazing. So what about your eventing journey? Am I right in saying that you sort of actually did quite a bit of dressage to start with? So when did the eventing bug catch you?
Correct. I actually still do dressage. I'm leaving this weekend to go to a dressage show. I have a KWPN gelding that I do compete pre-St. George. I won on that. I've ridden. I've had him since he was 3 and he's 15. I've kind of dabbled in and out with eventing. In 2012, I actually made it to the AECs on a Belgian draft thoroughbred cross, and jumping scares me really bad. And so I did that, and then I said, you know, I can't do this. So then I, from 2012 until 2 years ago, roughly, I just was riding dressage. And I got this pony, and he had done nothing for he was 14 when I got him. And he hadn't cantered in 7 years, and he just kind of came into my life, and he never jumped, and he was never going to, my belief was never going to be a good dressage horse because he had never done anything, and he was kind of way out behind. And so I just took him basically as a pet, and he just has turned into this phenomenal pony. And I still can't believe I won the AECs, and I still can't believe I won him on a backyard pony.
That's amazing. So that is Roscommon Fagan. So,
correct.
I mean, that is an extraordinary, because he's 17 now. So,
correct.
It's an extraordinary rise in the last couple of years, having he not done anything for
anything. Had never been to a horse show. He had done nothing but eat groceries.
Amazing. So what's he like as a character? What makes him so special?
He has the best personality in the world, and he has the biggest heart, and he just would do anything. He doesn't know much. He didn't know much. He obviously knows a lot more now, but he always tried. He had never jumped, but he tried. And he was great to learn on because he and I were learning together, but it's also hard because he didn't have confidence and I didn't have the confidence, and that's a bad combination. So if I didn't say go, he was like, well, she's not saying go. Well, I'm not going to go because she's not going. And then we ran into a lot of stops, which is not good when you jump. So we went for, once I got him conditioned and kind of going in the right direction, then we had a long journey of stops. He stopped, I stopped. he always would take rails in stadium. So it's been a good journey. I mean, it's been a learning lesson for both of us. And he's always, if you can say a horse is happy, he is always happy. Always, always happy. Always willing to go and work. He doesn't know what he's doing half the time, but he's willing to go out every day and work. And today was the first day I've actually rode him since I came home from Kentucky, and I just hacked him in the field. And he's just happy as to be, just going out and hacking in our farm through the field. So he's just a really special, special horse.
I feel like we all need a Fagin in our lives, listeners. He sounds like such a cool little dude. So when did you qualify for the AECs, and how long has it been your target?
I started the journey in 2019. I got my finished second, took a rail in stadium, but still finished second in the fall of 2019. So I was all excited. So then I started early 2020. My last horse trial I did was a rocking horse, which is in Altoona, Florida. I drove from South Louisiana to Altoona, Florida. And then the country shut down for a pandemic. So then June, I came back around, and things started to open up June of 2020. And I took a clinic with Boyd Martin. And I really, really needed that, because that was my first real eventing clinic. And I had to drive between 6 and 7 hours to go to any type of training clinics or horse trials, because I don't live near anything. And so that June, I qualified, got my last clean cross-country go, took a rail. And so then we were on our way to Kentucky in 2020. And as everyone knows, the pandemic and AECs didn't happen. So I started again, and I had to get my one clean go at cross-country. Well, I got it finished second in Texas at a horse trial in March of 2021, but it was before the date that you had to, because there was a date from April that you had to get that clean cross country go. So I got second, took a rail, but it was too early in my qualification. So then I had a lot of oops, I would say. I showed in North Georgia and got off course in stadium and was eliminated, a technical elimination. I guess that's one thing everyone says they do once, but it's not a fun thing. So I got eliminated in stadium. And then I drove to Kentucky in June and got my clean go. And then I qualified in June of 2021 for this year's AECs. And I took a rail.
Do you know what? This seems to be a theme developing here, and we're going to talk about it in a bit more detail in a second. I love that Boyd Martin is on this show, and he can take some of the credit for your AEC journey as well.
He can take a lot of credit.
I mean, honestly, if people in the UK are listening to this show, you guys put us to shame, because going 9-10 hours to a clinic, or, you know, 13-14 hours to drive down to Kentucky for a qualifying run, you know, fair play to you all, because that's a huge amount of dedication. People in the UK, we were saying before we started recording this, you know, they go over 3 hours and they're like, oh my God, I had such a long journey. It was 3 hours. You guys are tough cookies. So let's talk a little bit more then about your journey to the AECs, because you're qualified, you're ready to go. One of your daughters is actually qualified as well. So she's sort of aiming for them as well. And then Correct. Hurricane Ida comes along, and
Correct.
It all took your plans a little bit up in the air. So what happened in terms of the farm, and when did actually you kind of go, we can still make it?
Well, as of like right now of us talking, we've been 10 days without electricity. And we have a heat index of 106 today. So the hurricane started in the Gulf, and it came pretty quick, and it actually was almost a Category 5, which is a huge hurricane. And I think there were about 8 riders from South Louisiana qualified to go, and they all left on Saturday. The storm was predicted to hit Sunday into Monday morning. And I said, I can't go. I said, and my daughter left. She said, come with me. Just go with us. I said, I can't do it. I said, I can't leave my husband, her dad, we have other horses. I said, I can't do that with the farm. I just can't do it. So the hurricane hit. We were about 6 miles from the eye of the hurricane, and we had sustained 95 mile an hour winds for over 3 hours with gusts of wind up into the hundreds. And I figured when we got up in the morning that everything was going to be a mess. Thankfully, we had cut off all the electricity to our barn, because I read online before we lost electricity, the horses, electrocution is the number one cause of death of horses during hurricanes. So I cut off all electricity and I just hoped for the best and got up as soon as the sun came up and the horses were all there. The barn was there. Life was good, but we had significant damage to our property as far as trees and fences and, you know, cosmetic stuff. But the roads were all blocked. The power lines were, the poles were down. We couldn't get out. We couldn't get out of our road. So this was Monday morning. Then our neighbors, a lot of the people around here, we haven't worked together to get the road cleared, somewhat cleared. And then Tuesday, my husband and I went out and there was no way for morning for the trailer to get out. I have a big trailer that has living quarters in it. And there was no way we could get the big trailer out. So my younger daughter said that she would go with me. And Tuesday afternoon, we took another drive out and there was a way we could get out. It took me an hour to get what normally would take me about 10 minutes to get to the major highway to get out. And so we took the two horse trailer. My younger daughter, who does not ride, said she would go. And we left my husband at home to man generators and take care of the horses. And we hit the road, the 13, 14 hour drive to Kentucky.
Amazing. I am so, so pleased that, don't get me wrong, the devastation that it leaves behind, but everybody being in one piece.
Right.
You know, I can't even imagine how terrifying it was as you sort of unfolded around you.
And there's no electricity or cell service. So once I left, I had no idea what was going on at home.
What did your husband say? What was
he told me, he said, you need to go. He always has been to every clinic, I've done two Boyd Martin clinics. So he's always gone. He goes to my horse trials with me. And he said, you've got to go. You've got to go. You earned this. You deserve this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to take a rail. And, you know, I know because I've watched it. You know, one rail makes a difference, makes a huge difference. So he said, no, you're going to go. So away I went. And then over the time that we were gone, he was able to drive to certain locations and call me. But he had to drive away to find a cell service that he could call me and just let me know everything was okay, that we still had no electricity, but everything was okay.
Oh, my goodness. So what about competing in Kentucky? Because Kentucky Horse Park is a bit of a special venue, the hallowed turf of the cross country.
Oh, yes. And
you know, it's pretty special. So what did it feel like when you pulled up, you've been through all of that to get there, and you just think, oh my goodness, it's actually happening?
And we rolled in the middle, it was late at night because time we left it was late, so there wasn't a lot of people there. There was very few people there in the night when we arrived, and I had been there numerous times because my older daughter competed young riders, but she did it in dressage. But it was just so exciting that I was there for me, not as her groom, And just the numbers of horse trailers that I saw at night when I was parking my horse trail, I'm like, there are thousands of horses here. It was so overwhelming at night seeing the number of horse trailers. So when the next morning we got there, it was just unbelievable, the amount of people that were there. Far more people ever than I experienced at the horse park with young riders. And I just couldn't believe it. I cannot believe I did this. I can't believe I drove all this way, left my husband with a hurricane farm, and I'm here with thousands of people. And so that's started the horse trial.
And that started it. So talk me through the first phase, the dressage, because obviously that is your background. So I imagine of the three phases, that was the one that you felt most comfortable with. How did you feel?
I felt pretty comfortable, confident. He had come a long way. Our first horse trial, he got a 40 in dressage, which, you know, I know that's really bad, but he got a 40. And we've been making, you know, lower 30s. A couple times I got like 27 one time, but I took a rail. And so I felt like that was going to be my strong point. And so I rode about halfway. I think I was like maybe rider number 30 out of a 50 or 60. I don't even know how many were in the division, a lot. And he was in the number one slot forever. And I took a picture of it, and I said, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, look at this. We're number one. But as riders came about, you know, they scored higher. I had a 28.5, and I ended up fifth after dressage. Well, I was happy, really happy with that. But knowing that jumping is my weak point, that made me extra nervous to be there, to know, oh, my gosh, you're here, you're fifth, and there's not a lot of room. There's not a rail between, I think, all the top 15 riders. And I had had a couple stops cross country before. I said, well, you got to go. You got to go strong. And I rode early in the morning and there were a lot of weird shadows. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a disaster. But he did. He was phenomenal cross country. He was going pretty fast. So actually after jump 13, I looked at my watch and I had over a minute. I was a minute ahead. So I walked down the backfield. Like, I guess he just figured we were on a trail ride. And then when I got close to the road, I started trotting again. And away we went. And I finished, I think, about 10 seconds under optimum. So that was pretty cool. And so then I was really excited because after cross country, I moved up to fourth place. And I'm thinking, you know what? It can't get any better than this. That I finished. If I finish fourth, that is great. But in my mind, I knew, you know, you're going to take a rail. And if you take a rail, I think I would have been 15th if I would have taken a rail stadium.
We've established the railitis, I think we could call it. You know, there's always a rail. There's always a rail. And you went in.
It used to be stopped. So I'm happy with the rails because I used to get stopped.
So how did you, one, I guess, the enormous stadium, the jumping, you obviously rose to the occasion, but that's pretty special in itself. When you finished your round, having jumped that impeccable clear round, did you think at that moment, oh my goodness, I could win this? Or were you just absolutely delighted?
I was just so excited that I didn't take a rail and that I didn't go off course, because after jump 7, I was going left and the right, the jump was to the right. And then I had friends at home friends in Texas I have that were watching the live stream, and they were going, oh my gosh, she's going to go the wrong way, because I've done that before. And so I finished jump 7, that's 7 jumps in, no rails. I'm like, okay, we still have some to go. And right at the last minute, I realized I was going the wrong way. He doesn't do flying lead changes, but I turned him so quick, he did a perfect flying lead change. And so I did 8, and then I did 9 A and B, and then he was finished. And it was like, oh my gosh, I did not take a rail. And in my mind, I thought, it doesn't matter. I didn't take a rail. I did not take a rail, and I will finish 4th no matter what. I will finish 4th no matter what. So then I was, mind you, it was pouring down rain, pouring rain. And I thought to myself, this pays off living in South Louisiana, because I'm sure a lot of these horses don't ride in the mud, but we ride in the mud a lot. And so I finished my stuffing. I finished 4th. I was so excited that I was going to be 4th. And by the time I got back to the waiting area, the next rider had already taken a rail. So the 3rd place took a rail, and then the 2nd place took a rail. And then my daughters are standing there and they're like, you're 3rd, you're 2nd. And in my mind thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to finish 2nd. I'm going to finish 2nd in the AECs. And then the 1st place horse took 2 rails and everyone just looked at me and they said, you just won the AECs on Fagan. I couldn't believe it. I just honestly, God, could not believe that I won the AECs and that I went clean in stadium. Or show jumping, I guess is what they call it.
Yes, honestly, it's absolutely incredible, the story to get to that point. And do you know what? It's the kind of thing dreams are made of, you know, and it's one of the things that we love about the AECs are stories like yours. And has it obviously given you, I mean, have you had time to celebrate? How did you tell your husband? Because surely one of the first things you'd have wanted to do was ring him, but he's got no signal, no cell service. So how did you pass the news on?
I texted him that I won and I gave my phone back to my daughter. Well, he must have driven somewhere because he got the text and he said, what do you mean you won? And she said to my daughter, was replying on my phone, she won the entire thing. She won. And he's like, because he couldn't believe it. I mean, no, honestly, nobody probably can believe it that I actually won it. Knowing that my history of taking rails.
Incredible. So tell me about your daughters, because your younger daughter doesn't ride. She came to help you. Your older daughter was riding there. And actually, she had a pretty good weekend as well, didn't she?
Right. She finished 3rd in the open division on a horse that we own. Her young rider horse was a stallion. Well, when he was 28, but it was a stallion. And the horse she rode is his offspring. So that was kind of really cool, you know, homebred, raised, broke, and she's done all the work on her, and she finished 3rd. So she was there, and she said, told me that if I'd have gone the wrong way and got eliminated, that she wasn't going to talk to me anymore. Well, I didn't. And then my younger daughter, Kent, doesn't ride, and she did pony club growing up, but she just, and when she got into high school, she didn't want to ride anymore. So she has and been raised on a farm. She has horse sense and knows horses. She just doesn't ride. So she's very handy with being a good groom. So that I was very thankful to have her.
How happy were you from, obviously your daughter finished in third. Were you a sneaky little bit absolutely delighted that you won?
I was really happy for her, really happy. She had actually placed second a couple years ago in the Open Novice. So, I mean, she's been there before, she's placed before, but I'm always, your children, you're always happy and proud of your children. So, and I think, and she was extremely happy for me, knowing that I wasn't going to come. I think she felt bad when they all left on Saturday and I stayed behind. I think, you know, she was really, upset her that I didn't come with them, but I just couldn't. I didn't feel like I could leave. And all the years that I was with her with when she did Young Riders, I walked her stallion down that ramp to Rolex. And this time somebody walked my pony down the ramp. Although he probably would have gone on his own, but I guess it's just everyone walks the horses down. And I got led to the Rolex Arena, and it was super cool. Just super.
And you came out of the Rolex Arena an AEC champion with sash, rosettes, the whole shebang. What
Correct.
An incredible, incredible story. Has it given you a real drive and a desire to go back and look to defend your title or step up a level next year? Are you planning another AEC campaign?
Well, not on my pony. He's 17. I dabbled a little bit with novice jumping. With cross country, actually, again, I went to two Boyd Martin clinics, and he's phenomenal cross country. And I think he could do novice cross country. The stadium's real hard for him. And I just love him. And it's like, I don't want to do that to him. But I did adopt an off the track thoroughbred mare. I'm hoping that she'll be able to get me to the next level. You know, she's got a long way to go, but I mean, the AECs are in Montana next year, I think. And not that I mean, I've driven to Gladstone a couple of times, so I could drive to Montana, but it gives me time to figure out what I want to do. And I have to overcome my fear of jumping. Because, you know, you move up the levels, the jumps get bigger and get wider. And I could do that to Fagan. I mean, he's 14.3. He's got a fat little tummy. And I just, you know, I don't want to push him beyond what he's capable of doing. He has a forever home on my farm.
And he will forever be an AEC champion. It is
That's the most
incredible story. And do you know what? It's a really emotional one. And it's stories like yours that we especially love out of the AECs. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing it with us. We just absolutely love it. And he honestly sounds like a serious little superstar. And I have no doubt that he will enjoy all of the celebrations with you as well. And I'm wishing you all the very, very best as well with all of the repairs around the farm and everything, getting back up and running again when things start moving. So thank you so much, Galinda. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a nice afternoon.
So there you have it, listeners, the AEC Review Show. It is brilliant to hear from our two very special guests, and we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you've enjoyed the AECs as well. Maybe it's one to put on your bucket list. But for now, that is all we've got time for on the USEA official podcast. We'll be back with more very, very soon. And in fact, a little sneaky preview for you, listeners. The next show is going to be another Top Grooms Top Tip show. So if you've got any questions, then by all means, send them in at US Eventing, and we would love to hear from you. But for now, that is all we've got time for. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.